This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or at venues around New York City, and we get to listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes, and maybe even to find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Marabou State. I'm Megan Suma, and I'm here with host Kara Manning at WFUV. Kara, I personally fell in love with Marabou State with their 2015 album, which I think was called Portraits.
It was indeed.
Yeah, because Midas is on that album, which is one of my favorite songs of all time. And so now they're back with a new album, and you got to chat to them at our studio in the Bronx, but we've got songs from this show at the Ogden Theater in Denver. So talk to me about Marabou State. Talk to me about getting to sit down with Liam and Chris and chat at the station.
Well, like you, I'm a longtime fan, and Chris Davids and Liam Ivory are honestly two of the loveliest human beings I've ever had a conversation with. The generous, sweet, kind, also absolutely amazing in concert. If you get to see them, I not only got to see them here in New York, but I also figured out a way of watching them from Glastonbury as well when they played there this June. Both Liam and Chris went through a lot to get to the place that they're at with Hallucinating Love, their new album. They have sort of weathered like incredible highs and incredible lows. They are very cognizant of the luck that they've had in which to sort of move forward past medical crises and other crises. We spoke at length about that in this conversation that we had. They were kind enough to send us four songs from the new album in performance from Denver. And I just, you know, there's something about Marabou State's warmth and generosity that really comes through when you see them in live performance. I love this band. I love what they've achieved. I think that this is their, I think Hallucinating Love is their best album to date.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to see what's on the horizon for them.
Yeah, me too. What are we going to hear first from this special show shared with
us? You know, I think what we're going to start with is what the album Hallucinating Love starts with, and that is Black Oak on FUV Live Sessions.
Thank you.
I'm Kara Manning with FUV Live, and that is Marabou State Live with Black Oak. And I am extremely pleased to welcome Chris Davids and Liam Ivory of the band to FUV for the very first time. The emotional, vividly warm soulscapes that they have conjured over the years with their albums Portraits, which turns 10 this year, and 2018's Kingdoms in Color is well known. But they have reached their artistic peak to date with their third album, Hallucinating Love. It is a record brimming with jungle, trance, back-to-mind bliss outs, and even flashes of gospel. But it was born out of some dark times for these two longtime friends, but propelled by light, hope, and what it means to have a new lease on life. Hallucinating Love is one of the most moving and beautiful releases of 2025, one that resonates for these challenging times we all share, and it is really a privilege to have you, Chris, and Liam here tonight. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Going back to, you know, Hallucinating Love isn't just an ordinary return after like 6-7 years. It's also a testament of when things feel really bleak and dark and challenging, you can still, in that chaos, find a way to move forward. This is really just an extraordinary record given like what you've dealt with personally over the last few years since 2019.
It's not an ordinary return, but then it's not been an ordinary 5-6 years since then. And as you said, there's been various challenges that people have faced connectively over the world, but also me and Chris, like together and separately. It's been a very turbulent period, very long turbulent period. And yeah, in hindsight now, we are very grateful for the fact that we had this album to work on and focus on and kind of pulled us through those dark times.
Yeah, I mean, Liam and Chris, I mean, the third line on the first song of this album, which is Black Oak, is, "And if your world is breaking," which was very much the case for the two of you, especially during the pandemic. And Chris, for you at the start of 2022, you were dealing with debilitating headaches in 2021 and got a really shocking diagnosis in 2022.
Yeah, it was a really, really challenging period, especially like you said, at the start of 2022, I was in a lot of pain at that point and struggling a lot mentally. And it got to the point where me and Liam actually, we took some time away from making music and then came back to it because, not just because it was our career, but it was something that became really, really cathartic and healing. Getting into the studio was, I guess it was a bit of a distraction from what was going on internally, but really has marked sort of this from the point of us really embarking on this album to the point it's been finished and to actually now being out touring it. The change that's happened to both of us in that time has been pretty incredible. And it's all kind of come in tandem with the music being finished and being released and being put out into the world and also receiving some love back from the fans. It's really been incredible for the both of us.
It's profound too. You've spoken about this being on the road as the first time you've ever toured in full sobriety. And sort of experiencing
almost full sobriety,
but like feeling what that is like. And also, you know, there's a message to be had with Hallucinating Love that feels very universal right now. Like you've kind of hit upon a zeitgeist, and people are responding to that album in kind about what you're saying within lyrically and in the sort of mood and the deep emotion of what you've conjured here.
I mean, like I was saying earlier, like aside from our own personal struggles, the world was also struggling during this period as well. So I think people, for varying different reasons, are also feeling similar to how we felt. And I think the progression that I've noticed in myself across this period and looking internally and looking more about mental health and learning to look after ourselves more, I'm seeing that across board. I'm seeing that in friends, I'm seeing that on social media. Like there's been a big drive towards wellness and looking after yourself. And I think for whatever reason, maybe that was the catalyst, maybe COVID was the catalyst, but there is now more of an attention on wellness and mental health. And thankfully this record for us like was the kind of antidote to that dark time. And hopefully now it's going to help people who are also struggling in similar ways.
Right. And Chris, you were diagnosed with Chiari malformation, which was something, had you always had it and just didn't know it was there?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you had surgery for it about a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sort of got to the point where I had to sort of weigh up how much I could continue living with the symptoms that were coming from it. And I made the call to have the surgery at the end of last year, which was definitely the right decision. But at the time, after the surgery, it had about 6 months worth of repercussions where I was in and out of hospital and lots of different adverse side effects afterwards. But yeah, thankfully now I'm out the other side and so much healthier.
And you had started working on one third album that you ended up scrapping and then sort of came together with this whole other track with Hallucinating Love. So when did you ditch the former album and realize that there was something else that needed to happen here?
It kind of happened more gradually. It's kind of a bit of a process we've gone through historically with the other albums as well. And it's more, I think what happens is the album comes out, then we tour it, and our head is so much in that music that when we sit down to write new music, all we end up doing is regurgitating old sounds. So it seems to be a bit of a process where we kind of purge out all that kind of old sound until we kind of hit on something that feels new. And then when we do, that starts changing the course, you know, changing the trajectory of it. And it was probably about a year or year and a half of demos that we started writing, but not all of them got canned. Like actually the first demos that Chris wrote for the new album, Echoes, that's on the final album. So there were things that kind of carried through, but it was more in the last kind of 6 months to a year that big shifts started happening. And I think after everything had gone on and with the deadline that we'd moved multiple times, but with the kind of final deadline in our head, with that approaching, it kind of gave us a new clarity on things. And some very big decisions were made last minute to drop a few different songs and bring some older demos on. But now in hindsight, it's worked out perfectly and we're so happy with the whole album.
I mean, what was that reckoning between the two of you in conversation about, like, you know, we've been doing this way. How do we do it another way? I mean, because you do still work with people like Jack Sibley on this album, who's North Downs, as well as Holly Walker, who's been a long time, you know, collaborator with you. There's something beautiful in that, the Black Oak video, in which you can tell this familial greeting. It's a very warm, emotional video that is taken from almost like a documentary style of being back in the studio and working as a family again. What was the big change for you in what you wanted to do with Hallucinating Love that felt radical or different?
It was without a doubt just the struggles that we were going through. When I got diagnosed with Chiari malformation, that was a big turning point for the both of us to take some time off and look more closely at ourselves and become a little bit more self-aware. And I think during that process, the record then became much more personal, which it hadn't done in the past. It had always just been about whatever felt right. And we would just sort of carve out the narrative as the record went along. And with this one, there was a turning point where the album very clearly became about our own
experiences.
Yeah, our own experiences and that sort of difficult period we were in and sort of this more hopeful view how we were going to sort of get through that.
There's so much here, I mean, lyrically and in mood, whether it be Peace Talk or Passing Clouds or Echoes, which is based on your dad's guitar distantly.
Yeah.
You know, just it does feel like there's so much here that is about what you're experiencing quite directly. Mm-hmm. And you can hear that in every single song. It just feels like a remarkable journey when you listen to Hallucinating Love from start to end.
Thank you very much. It's interesting with the lyric stuff because there are some lyrics on the album that we've written together or Chris has written separately. But obviously collaborating with people, we don't tend to input so much on the lyrics. So you're working on songs where someone else is thinking up the lyrical context, but then you're trying to fit that into what the album means. And actually, we didn't really have the kind of meaning of what the album was about until quite late in the process. But once we did have it, once we'd landed on the title and started to figure out what the album meant to us, it meant that we could package things under that banner. But it's interesting how you're drawn to certain things and certain samples, and then they end up connecting with the kind of ethos of the record. And then it feels almost like serendipitous, where you're like, you're playing around with a vocal sample because you like the sound of it. But actually, it's like, oh, the words that this person's saying, that does fit with what we're working towards.
And I think it became quite intuitive, actually, because Black Oak, for example, was written way before we decided on what the album was going to be about. But like you say, the lyrics to that song was so perfectly in keeping with the theme of the record. And I think there was this internal part of ourselves that was drawn to the lyrics of these samples, because there's a lot of samples that make up the lyrical content of the album, but they all fit within the same theme. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that was a sort of unconscious.
It just hadn't been labeled, drawn. Basically. Yeah. We were probably experiencing it the whole time. And like Chris said, drawn to those words and drawn to those kind of feelings, but just hadn't kind of connected it with some kind of title. Or
I love how you take yourselves out of London too, and you go on these writing trips. Mm. And you took Holly, who is on Other Side and Peace Talk, on this particular album, the other things too. But you, the three of you went on a writing trip together. What is a writing trip like?
Yeah, Holly didn't come to any of these trips on this album.
Oh, she didn't?
She did in the last one. But for us, it's kind of a simple formula. It's just like London is so inspiring and it's our home, but it can really drag you down and it's very distracting. So all, like, having grown up in nature, both of us are from the same village on the outskirts of London,
Hertfordshire.
Yeah, exactly. It's important for us to be around nature, so we like to just move the studio to somewhere in the countryside, put ourselves into isolation, turn our phones off, and then just have no distractions. And that's like a nice safe space for us to create and we enjoy it. Like, we enjoy being down there. It kind of feels like a mini holiday, even though they can be quite taxing. And yeah, that's kind of the basic formula of it. And over the years, they've evolved in terms of the size of, like, how much studio kit we take and the kind of size of the space we're living in, but then also in terms of inviting other people down, inviting friends down, collaborators, and just trying to create this environment where there's a real, like, creative trust between the people, and we can just get new ideas out away from the distractions of the home life and the city life.
I'm also amazed at the complexity of every single one of your songs. Like, you have multiple, like, hundreds of channels sometimes and things going on at the same time. How do you, like, when you listen to, for example, a song like Other Side, which we're about to hear sort of evolve and develop, how do you know that you may have layered too much in there? What to bring out? What to tweak? What to bring in? Because there's this sort of glorious chiming, a silvery sound to this album and to what you've created here, almost like you're listening to a waterfall. So I'm wondering, you create that with these various samples and sort of like nuanced little moments that sort of sift in and sift out. And I'm wondering, how do you break that down?
Good question.
I think initially all of that came out of a lack of us being able to fully create something that felt original. So, like, when we first started making music, I think it sounded like a lot of other people's songs, and then we started adding more layers and little bits, and my mind is very scatty. I've got ADHD, so it's firing at a million miles an hour. So when I'm working on a song, I'll get distracted and be like, oh, what about trying this, what about trying this, and adding more bits in. And it got to the point where we were like, well, this now has a sound to it, you know, because there's so many layers, you kind of, every, you know, a few seconds, there's a different sound that comes in. So I think it came as like a sort of mechanism to create something that felt more original. But then as the albums have progressed, we've really fallen in love with that sound. And I think in this latest album, it's not just samples, it's then more instrumentation, like strings, woodwind, piano, like, you know, lots of different guitars.
A lot of looped guitars.
Yeah. And then in answer to your second part of the question, I think it is hard to know when the song is done.
That's why it took 3.5 years, four years.
It takes a long time. We have to have a break from the song for a bit, and you come back and listen to it, and it's sort of more, I guess, of a feeling. Or we'll send it off to some friends and get their opinion on it. And quite a lot of the time we'll overproduce stuff and we'll overfill it out. And that can be quite a common thing where we'll just throw so much into it that we'll have lost the essence of the song.
Yeah, that we'd like... For each song on the album, there's been so many versions of, like, for each demo.
Like Other Side.
Yeah, and Black Oak had 25 versions, I think, wow, in the end. And it kind of comes in a wave of, like, putting so much stuff into it, and then it sounds too overcomplicated, overproduced. And then we go the other way and we strip it down and we try and get back to the core, and then it goes too far one way. And that's kind of how they all go, until each time we return to the demo, it starts to feel more like the balance is feeling right.
And yet also too, on tour, it takes on another shape as, like, this living, yeah, organism that has to, you know, exist in a live setting too. I mean, how has the Other Side shape-shifted live, as we're about to hear?
It sounds quite close to the original, actually, yeah, compared to some of the tracks, because this is something that we've struggled with in terms of the records have always felt quite tactile and, like, intimate and there's a lot of textural stuff and like a lot of layers, and that doesn't always translate well into venues, especially bigger venues. Now we're playing bigger rooms, the tracks need cleaning up a bit and they need to be approached more as like live songs, but we try and like retain the essence of the music live. And I think Other Side actually is a good example of how it sounds quite close to the record still. And we spent a lot of time on the sound design of it and working with the different instruments and making sure the patches we were using, like the tones and the effects, were as close to the recordings as we could get.
I'm Karen Manning with FUV Live Sessions with Liam and Chris of Marabou State. And here's the live version of Other Side, which features their touring vocalist Tallulah Ruby. And that is Other Side, Marabou State, featuring Tallulah Ruby live, who is among your touring members, along with Jonjo Williams,
yes.
Correct?
Yeah.
And also Johnny Cade. Who else is in your live band?
That's it.
That's it.
That's the basic footprint. When we do bigger rooms, we have a choir and an orchestra and bring in lots of extra people. But the kind of standard band that we tour with is us five.
I should say Kara Manning with FUV Live Sessions. I'm here with Chris Davids and Liam Ivory, whose new album, As Marabou Stay, called Hallucinating Love, is out now. And you worked on this record with Andrea Triana. On the song All I Need. And I mean, she has an extraordinary voice. She's worked with everybody. So how did that connection happen? Because it's the first you've worked with her, correct?
Mm-hmm. We'd listened to her music for years, ever since Black Sands album by Bonobo.
Bonobo, yeah.
Yeah, and she featured across the majority of that record, and we both loved that. And it was like in really formative years of us growing up when we were like at university, we were like 19 or 20 when we heard it. So we've always wanted to work with her. And on this record, we hit her up and she came to the studio not long afterwards. And actually, this was we played her three songs, and she's very intuitive in the way that she works. So she listened to all three and she said, I'm only going to record on something that feel like drawn to. And we played her All I Need, and she was like, right, cool, let's go, let's record it. And
did you ask what she responded to in particular with that track?
No, it's just it was more that she kind of just sat there quietly and thought through melodies and said that she only likes to have a go at something or sing when an idea comes, which is the complete opposite to pretty much everyone we've worked with before, who will just try and sing anything over it and ad lib, and it might not be any good, it might be good, but you kind of figure it out later. But she had a way more calculated approach where she was quite happy to let demos pass, even ones that she said like that sounds amazing but I don't have an idea. So she would just let it pass, and then like Chris said, until we played All I Need, and she was like, I have something. And actually what she put down was basically the final part.
She just recorded the verse without lyrics, but it was basically the exact same melody that we used in the end.
And actually, interestingly, we didn't tell her this until after, but the chorus was written first, and it's a sample of her from one of her songs, just pitched down, and she didn't recognize it.
Oh, that's wild.
Oh,
But we were like, we're not sure if she's going to be happy about that. So we were like, let's not tell her about that yet. But we were like, there is a chorus. And then she did her verses. And we obviously didn't play it to her because we didn't want it to direct her too much. And then we played it to her. And then we were like, that's your vocal.
And she loved it.
Yeah,
of course
she couldn't believe it.
Well, the studio version you have to go listen to via Hallucinating Love, which is the new Marabou State album. But you are treating us today to a live version, which again features Tallulah Ruby, who is your love. How did you meet Tallulah?
It was through our front of house engineer. He'd seen her play at a show with Loyal Khanna. She supported him.
Right.
And it was a few months before we were supposed to start touring, and he suggested her, and it came about in a really nice way. She's not a session musician, she's an artist in her own right, and we didn't even do a rehearsal with her. We just listened to her voice and we were like, she's perfect.
We saw some videos on Instagram of her just singing in a studio like full pelt, top of her range, and we were like, yeah, that's pretty impressive.
And she's coming along to North America with you now.
Yeah.
This is Marabou State and the live version of All I Need featuring Tallulah Ruby on FUV Live Sessions.
Sure, I've been calling when I'm feeling at home. just can't explain.
Live is Marabou State. Chris Davids, Liam Ivory, joined by Tallulah Ruby with All I Need on FUV Live Sessions. I'm Kara Manning, and Chris and Liam are here in Studio A today talking to us, and they've generously provided some songs from On the Road for to complete this FUV Live session today. You've kind of been expanding your community of collaborators. Do you foresee, or are you thinking in any way of doing that even more so? I mean, you've just gotten through so much and have released a magnificent third album, but are you already sort of, you know, have a fourth album sort of simmering in the distance of what you'd really like to do, given how you've expanded your collaborative scope?
Personally, I haven't thought about that too much yet. I don't know if Chris has, but yeah, not really. The collaboration thing's interesting though, because we've historically been quite insular. It was, even from the first album, it was just Holly and Jack basically that we worked with, and then to the second album was basically the same. We opened it, we opened it up a little bit, but not really. And then before we started Hallucinating Love, we kind of said we should collaborate more, we should get in with more people, do more sessions. So we started the process off in our new studio, actually doing loads of different sessions. Andrea was one of them.
You worked with Lady Ray too.
Yeah. Over here actually in New York. But the interesting thing was we did all these different sessions and the music we were making just didn't sound like us. And all these different players and stuff, like, they just, it wasn't quite the way we approach things. And then we realized that actually the connections that we make with people are so important for our creative process. And the better we know someone, the more comfortable we are. Like, basically, if you could invite them on the writing trip, if you can live with them for a week in that environment, that's probably the better fit. And so we started initially with this broad idea of collaborating with lots of people, but kind of reduced it back to the same crew. And it was down on this writing trip with Jack Sibley was there, and Jonjo and Johnny, and just kind of back to the nucleus. But some things like the Andrea collaboration,
they
pulled through, and actually the Guida sessions was really important because we ended up sampling a lot of those vocals and reusing
she's
them.
A Dutch Sudanese singer who I've actually played her solo stuff before. She's fantastic.
She's incredible.
Sadly, she was supposed to be the tour support on this North American tour, but
and
they couldn't
happen.
Make it work in the end, which is upsetting, because she's so good. We've actually never seen her live show, so I was really looking forward to that. But
Wow, that's great. Given the sense that we live in a very complicated world these days, things are really rough, heartache is too common, you have actually found on Hallucinating Love a way to key into ways how to write songs that are equally of sadness and joy, often in the same song itself. In laying out that blueprint for yourself, what is the challenge of writing into and embracing and thriving within an emotion that is very specific, whether that be joy or sadness?
It's something I was thinking about yesterday. Correct me if I'm not answering your question correctly.
You can answer it any way you like.
But I was thinking about this yesterday, and that I think music acts as a really good mirror into what emotions that you feel like you need to experience. So like a lot of people will listen to songs like, oh, it's like Bon Iver, because it evokes this emotion of like sadness, but also it brings joy, similar to our music, and that connects with them because those are the emotions that they need to sort of process. And I think for us, the same thing happens when we're making music. So the emotions that need to be brought up are both sad and joyful at the same time. And that seems to be where we always go when we're writing music. It is always these same sort of chord patterns, the same sort of repetitiveness. And there's very few songs that actually depart from that. I think Glass Houses is one of them. All I Need is one of them. They're probably a bit... Actually, I suppose even those songs, they both bring that melancholy feeling. But I think it's all to do with... there's this sort of innate intuition that sort of like brings us back to the same thing. And I think in people, it like I say, it sort of acts as this mirror back to the crowd as well. And they feel drawn to it because it's something that they need to experience.
And it's something sometimes that you can't articulate, but you can feel it in your heart when you're listening to your music. And especially with this album, I felt that you could. It's a very tactile feeling with Hallucinating Love. You can sort of... you don't need the words to describe exactly what is going on through the journey of this album, which is really remarkable. Liam, it was interesting you said earlier too, and you've said it a couple of times in this interview, didn't sound like us. So when you think of what is Marabou, you know, Marabou State's sound, when it comes to that core essence, what is most important?
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I think... traditionally, it was more from a sonic space. It was more from a production standpoint that we would recognize how things sounded. It was a feeling to the tonality of things. And previous to this album, a lot of the music we were writing didn't really have a whole lot of meaning in it. Some songs would have definitely, but we were mostly chasing ideas that we thought sounded cool and sonically like ticked the boxes of things that interest us. But it was on this new record, like we were saying earlier, where we started writing songs actually from our experiences and from like metabolized emotions, and like it shifted massively from that. But I still think it's still a bit of a gray area as to what constitutes like a Marabou song. And I think that was also what takes us so long to write the music, is that we work through so many different demos, and I think maybe they often just, the balance is slightly off between the electronic and the organic, or maybe they sound a little bit too inspired by something else that we've heard, and if eventually after time it starts to sit within our world. But it's still, from my point of view anyway, it still is a kind of hard thing to put your finger on in terms of what it actually makes.
But Cara, I think the point that you were touching on before actually about the emotion that the songs generate, I think that's kind of one of the key things that I've realized makes the song feel like it's us. And like, I know it's a weird word to use, but nostalgic is also something that, like, it's hard to sort of quantify what that really means in the form of a song when it's not, like, usually you'd hear a song and it feels nostalgic because it reminds you, it's a song you listen to as a child, you know, and it feels nostalgic in that sense. But I get that same feeling with our music sometimes, because maybe even though it's written in the present day, it gives me this feeling of like longing to like the past. And I think that also paired with that melancholic sort of sound is where we tend to go, and kind of makes it feel like that's us.
I love the fact that the two of you have known each other since you were teenagers, and you've been doing this for such a long time together, and you know each other so well and your strengths. What have you learned about each other over the last 5 years as you both sort of faced a lot of challenges and saw your way through to come through with this beautiful record?
I would say, in real honesty, we probably didn't know each other very well until the last 5 years. I think the last few years have been so transformative for both of us, but it meant that we had to really come together and work together. And often a lot of the studio sessions would end up being just therapy sessions, and we'd be talking to each other about problems and sharing stuff that we'd learned, and sharing like stuff we'd learned through seeing therapists or through like our own like learning. And it really brought us together in a way that we'd never experienced before.
Well, congratulations. You have made one of the most beautiful albums I've heard in a very long time, Hallucinating Love. I've always loved Marabou State, but you've outdone yourself this time with this
Thank
record.
You very
it
much.
Is just
very
extraordinary. The last song that you're going to give to us today from a live concert is Dance on the World. Now, the album version features North Downs, aka Jack Sibley.
Yeah.
So in the live version, what is the makeup of this
song? It's a sample.
It's a sample.
It's a chicken sample, yeah. That's always a question when we're putting the live stuff together, is what would sound better translated into a live vocal, and what just needs to retain the characteristics of the album. And actually, All I Need is a good example of that. Tallulah sings the verses, the chorus is the sample, because it's so difficult sometimes to recreate those sounds authentically.
You want to make sure that it doesn't feel too live and that there is this sort of studio sound to some of it. Otherwise, you know,
it sounds like karaoke.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what does Dance on the World mean to you?
Liberation, I guess. That was a song that we wrote in one of the early recording sessions on a writing trip. And that title came about sort of quite naturally, because we were locked. It was kind of in lockdown. We were on a writing trip, and you know, the opposite of what we could do was that. And yeah, so we kept that title. But the song changed a lot. Actually, we worked on that song with Lady Ray. We had a really good track with her. She did an amazing vocal on that song. It was a totally different sound to it. But again, as Liam was sort of alluding to earlier, that if the song just in the end, the song just didn't quite feel like it was us, or it didn't feel fitting with the narrative of the album. So we kept the chorus part, which is that sort of gang vocal singing Dance on the World, and then wrote some other lyrics around it that were more fitting. But yeah, to us, that it's just a sense of liberation, being able to sort of be yourself, be free.
It is so lovely to have you guys here today. Thank you so much. I'm Cara Manning with FUV Live Sessions. Thanks to Chris and Liam of Marabou State. The album is Hallucinating Love. It is out now. And live, this is Dance on the World. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Dance on the world. Dance on the world.
That was Marabou State live from the Ogden Theater in Denver, Colorado. Our conversation with Marabou State took place at WFUV in New York City. A big thanks to Chris and Liam for joining us in the studio to chat and for sharing songs with us from their show in Denver. Also, more thanks to Ninja Tune, their label. The music you heard in this episode was recorded by Jay Heigl. Our associate producer for this episode was Ina Volovich. Megan Suma is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. New episodes drop every Monday, and you can catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions at WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host and producer for this episode, Kara Manning.